I was just reminded that this is the new memory verse. Let's say it together. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. There will be a key verse in my message today. We are in the series called Community, a Place to Belong. And let's recap what we have learned so far. First message, all from the book of James. Community is where your faith is forged either through trials or tribulations. When you face hardship, you can either come closer to God or you can leave farther away, move away from God. And that's where community helps you to stay with the Lord and say your faith can become even greater, even under trials. We also heard, we learned, the second message, that community is where you work out your faith in application. It's not just do not merely hear the word, but be doers of the word. So in community, you practice, apply, live out God's word. And last Sunday, we learned from Pastor Jeremiah, in community, we don't show favoritism, because the Lord does not either. And today, it's about a community shaped by wise words. We're going to learn how powerful words are and how God wants our words, using his words, to build up community. I invite you, encourage you to use the sermon outline, and you can access that by pointing your smartphone at this QR code. James chapter 3, we are going to go through the book of James as far as we could. We got one more message next week. Today, it's in the third chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. Again, the key main idea is community being shaped by words. Hear the word of the Lord, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. James addresses people who teach, preach the word of the Lord. And then he speaks to everyone. Verse 2. We all, pastors, preachers, everyone here, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. If you don't make mistakes with what you say, then the whole body, your entire being, your mind, body, soul, and spirit is full of light. And then James gives a couple of illustrations. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Yikes. More on that later. Verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The theme and the goal. In one simple short sentence, God shapes your words to build community by reshaping your hearts. God is saying, say certain words. Don't say certain words. God wants your mouth to be shaped, so your mouth speaks shaped words from God. And the way He does that for you, in you, through you, is by reshaping your heart. It's not only discipline, it's not only a matter of the willpower, it also, most importantly, first and foremost, it's about what's in your heart. First point, would you please write these words? God shapes your words to build community, and that's because words are tremendously powerful. Now, earlier this in the service, when you asked the question, what was the most powerful thing anyone ever said to you, what did you hear? A couple of sharing here. What did you hear? Hard working. Okay, could you be more specific? What did the person say to you, Elder Peter? Yeah, let's talk about them. Let's gossip. Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, what did they say?
So,
the person heard from somebody else these powerful words. In life, you got to work hard, and I see you working hard. Way to go. Keep it up. I see your life full of opportunities and potential. Powerful words. Okay. I've shared with you what those words were to me, right? Okay. It says, oh, you smile. You're the fastest typist. Just built me up. She had no idea how powerful these words were. However, at the same time, words came powerful negatively. Look at verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. The tongue is not large, unless you have a big mouth, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Two metaphors. First picture. Imagine a horse. Sara Lee, how much does your horse weigh?
About
1,000 pounds. On average, a horse weighs 1,000 pounds. The largest horse, the most powerful horse in the world, they are?
Belgian
horses. You know how much they weigh?
Yeah, they weigh like 1,800 pounds.
They're like close to 2,000 pounds. You know how strong they are? They are one of the strongest animals on the face of the earth that is domesticated. Okay? And yet, you could control the entire horse, the Belgian horse, by pulling on the bit in the mouth. It's a small thing, but when you, here's the principle. When you control this small thing, mouth, you can control the whole body, the whole being. You got that? Second metaphor, a rudder. Imagine a huge cruise ship. It carries how many passengers? Peter, you've been on cruises, have you? How many passengers in Royal Caribbean? Yep, about 3,000 guests, 2,000 crew members. That's a 5,000 passenger ship. It's like a city, bigger than Fairview, I think. Now, the whole ship so large, so strong, and yet steered by a small piece called a rudder. What's the point? You control your mouth. You control your whole being. You control, you master your mouth, your words. You master yourself. That's the idea. And the Bible is saying, James is saying, the Lord is saying, shape your words. Look at James is drawing wealth and wisdom from other parts of the Bible, specifically from the book of Proverbs. And here's what James was thinking. Proverbs 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Next bullet point. However, words are powerful. However, don't miss this, my friends. Words can either build up or tear down a community. Words that are spoken out of your mouth can either build up, edify the relationship in which you are, or it can tear them down just like that. You work so hard in this friendship, you work so hard in this relationship, and all of a sudden something was spoken by you or by them, and all of a sudden the whole thing tumbles down. You've been there, seen it, experienced it. And here's the reason. Verse 6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Think of all the parts in your body, and your tongue is the most vile part. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Please, I don't want you to say anything out loud, but I want you to remember the time when someone said something to you. Maybe a teacher, maybe a friend. Worse yet, someone that you deeply cared about, maybe a family member, maybe a parent. Someone says something to you, and it just crushed your soul. See, right there, you remembered it. Even now, after all these years, it hurts like it just happened yesterday. Mere words crushed your soul. I know of a man, 70 years old, 70 years old. When he was a young boy, her mom said these words to him. Okay? You were a mistake. We didn't want you, but you happened. After 60 years, it still pains him. Your words are powerful, and your words can either build up, lift you up, like make you feel like you are number one in the whole world, or crush you down all the way to hell without lifting a finger, just simple words. Here's a picture. James says, tongue is like a fire. Just a spark, tiny little match light, can set the entire national park in Canada on fire. This is how powerful and strong words can be. Let's look at verse 9. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Now, let's all agree, and I think I feel confident that we are on one accord. Words are powerful, and your words, my words, people's words can either build up or tear down, okay? So, there are traditions of people, both present and in the past, so therefore, let's say little words, few words. Because the more words you say, the more mistakes you make. Yeah? Yeah? So we have sayings like, speech is silver, but silence is gold, things like that. There are monks or other people where they don't speak a word all day long, because if they speak words, they're going to tear someone down. So, therefore, don't speak at all. That's one solution. Here's the problem. Are words a blessing? Are they a gift from God? Is your tongue a gift from God? The answer is, say yes. Thank you, thank you. It wasn't a trick question. Your mouth is a gift from God. It's a good thing. Your words, given from God, shaped by God, are gifts from God. The problem is us. I'm the problem. Not the mouth, not the words. I misuse them. I use them for the purposes for which it was not intended. I'm the problem. You are the problem. It is easier to say fewer words than say good things, even at the risk of saying wrong things. Did you catch that? I could say, so as someone who speaks a lot, I make lots of mistakes. I do. So what's my solution? Don't say nothing at all, Bambi. Well, it doesn't edify, does it? I may not make you angry or accept you, but it doesn't edify. So the aim is I need to build you up without tearing you down with my words. And how in the world am I going to do that? I've made tons of mistakes. People that know me well, yeah, there goes Victor, that stupid mouth of his. But I meant well. And I mean well, it just comes out wrongly, or it comes out rightly, perfectly, but you get the wrong interpretation. Well, that's not my fault. You've been there. So let's move on. Okay? But the first point is, God says, shape your words, right? Okay? Because if you control, master your word and your mouth, the whole body is in check. Got it? Yes? Someone say amen.
Amen.
Where's Sam? Say amen. Amen, man. There we go. Next point. We got to move. Number two. So how does God do it? God shapes our words to build community by reshaping our hearts. Let's read that together. God shapes our words to build community by here's the truth. Write this word. You cannot master your words. You cannot control your mouth. You cannot harness, put bit in your mouth. That's the truth. Verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is what? Able to keep their whole body in check. Kind of contradictory, eh? Control your mouth, then you control the whole body. Master your tongue, then you master your character, right? And he says, but you can't do it. You can't do it. I'm not perfect, neither are you. No one can do this. Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Well, that's a dilemma, isn't it? You can't do it, I can't do it. Why can't we do it? If it's just a matter of discipline and the matter of the willpower, why can't we do it? Here's the reason. Would you write this painful truth? Your words reveal what's in your heart. What comes out of your mouth, what your tongue speaks, tell you, display, reveal what's on the inside. 11, verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? The answer is no. A grapevine bear figs? No. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The problem is me. Not only me, but what's on the inside, in the abyss of my heart and my soul and my spirit. Well, let's read the memory verse together. Together, one, two, three. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You know why you speak words of depression? Because your heart is full of it. You know why when you replay the tape of what you say all day long, maybe half the time it's words about frustration, envy, anxiety. You know why? Because your heart is full of it. You know why you are always, always thinking, oh, I wish, I wish, I wish. You know why you say those things? Because you are full of it. Can you say, yes, I am full of it? Yes, I am full of it. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Can I make you even more depressed one more time? It gets worse. I'll give you the good news, but this is really bad. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 12. I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Oh my goodness! Every empty word. The words that tore down somebody, the word that was half-truth, word that was really embellishing beyond the truth. Every word, you will be held accountable on the day of judgment. You know what Jesus is saying? Unless you are perfect with what you say, you won't be saved. I learned last week in my house church. Okay, so that last Sunday we learned about in community, you don't show favoritism, right? You know, you don't say, oh, Elder Vincent, I love your shiny shoes. I like the fact that you like me. So I'm going to give you the best seat in the house. Right? Okay? Man of influence, man of power, man of stature. Say, yes, I want to be in this relationship. And then say, may I pick on you? Okay? Let's say Sam is homeless. And that's the illustration that Pastor Jeremiah used. Homeless, shabby, not a man of influence or power, prestige. Say, well, could you sit there, please? Because, okay? You know, you haven't taken a shower for some time, and, you know, Lena's really a keen nose. Would you, okay? What did I do? I showed favoritism, yeah? Okay, but why? Why? Because it's about me. I can get something from this relationship, but since I won't, that's not important. I'm showing favors. And what we learned at the house church was, if you break one law, you break the entire laws. And in our house church, we went back and forth. What does that mean? No. Favoritism, it's bad, but it's not as bad as murder, is it? Favoritism bad, but it's not as bad as adultery, is it? And guess what we found out? Yes, it is. God says in his book, showing favoritism is just as bad as killing somebody. You break one law, you break the whole law. Oh my goodness. I sense, preacher, give us the good news. Yeah? Let's go there. Good news, grace, Christ reshapes your heart with his words. There we go. Christ reshapes your hearts with his words for you and to you. Look at Matthew chapter 3. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son," God the Father speaking, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." How does Christ shape, reshapes your heart so that out of your heart comes out good words? Here's how. Here's how. God says to me, "Victor, your heart is full of evil. Your heart is full of restless tongue that spews out curses and lies, showing favoritism." And yet, God says to me, "When you come to Christ, whatever I say to my son, Jesus Christ, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased." God says these words to me. Did you catch that? This sinner, this vile heart, God says to me, in Christ, when you come to Christ, when you commit your life to Christ, when you receive his grace, and when you're being transformed by his Holy Spirit, I say to you, Victor Coe, you are my son. You know I'm well pleased. Not because of me, but because of what Christ has done. Christ is the only perfect man who never spoke an empty word. Amen? Christ is the only perfect person who never sinned with what he said. And that's because in his heart was 100% pure spirit. This evil man, sinful man, receives that grace. Not that I am good. Christ is good. I get his credit imputed upon me. And that's how Christ reshapes my heart. That's what you need to hear the most, my friends. The King of the universe saying, even though I know what they said about you, here's what I say about you. You are my daughter. You're my son. And because of Christ, I am pleased with you. I overlook your sinfulness. I overlook the fact that you are a sinner. And I overlook all that. And what I see is Jesus Christ beaming in you. That's the words that reshape our hearts and our character. Therefore, we hear these words of Christ. Our hearts are reshaped. And then now we are able to shape what comes out of our mouths. It's not just the willpower, my friends. It has to be transformation of the heart. Got it? I love what C.S. Lewis said one day. He said, following Jesus is not like training a horse to run faster, which is about willpower and discipline. No. Following Jesus is like train the horse so he can fly. He can fly. It's changing of the creation. I am a new creature in Christ. So once my heart is reshaped, now I can reshape what's coming out of my mouth. Let me quickly end with this. One application. Two. Number one, receive the grace of Christ and be transformed. Those of you who have not received the grace of Christ, say yes to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need this new heart. Give me this new heart by your grace. I want to be transformed. Say that. Receive that grace and be baptized. Number two, shape your words to build a community by speaking the truth in love. Say truth in love. Ephesians 4. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we all grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We need to build up community with what we say, and what we say is truth in love. My friends, this is so hard to do. So hard to do. First, you got to speak the truth, not your opinions, not your preferences, the truth. And yet, you got to do it in love. So here's an example. Let's say, I have character flaws. and you see them. You see a pattern in what I do, what I say, how I behave. Got it? Character flaws. That's the truth. So you need to build me up by confronting me with the truth. How hard will that be? When you speak the truth, confront me of my flaws, how hard would that be? And now, you got to do it in love. You do it, you confront me because you love me. You confront me, you challenge me because you care about me. You don't want this thing to go on in my life, and you don't want me to hurt others with my character flaws either, so you confront my flaws so that you show you love me. You know how hard that is? That is extremely hard. And yet, those who live in the community of Jesus Christ, we should do it, and we must receive it. When you come to me, well, no, you know what? No, don't come to me. Let me talk to my house church people. My house church people, every week we get together. There's a trust, there's bond, there's transparency. I can take, I can receive what they give to me because I trust them. So they confront me, the truth, but in love. Imagine the difference they will make in my life and in yours. Pray with me. Father in heaven, our God and Lord, we thank you so much, more than anything else, that because of Christ, your Son, the perfect man who never made any mistake, any empty words came out of his mouth because of him living in us. You call us your sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ, we want to honor you. We want to promote your goodness to others. Would you use us? This is so hard to do, speaking the truth in love. Holy Spirit, give us the courage. But give us the community in which we feel safe to give it and to receive it. In your name we pray, and God's people said, Amen.